everybody, Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy, heard for this and the next Friday night here on KCRW. And then after that, we're moving to Sunday nights at 10:30 p.m. And something I suppose I ought to tell you is that those first two Sunday nights will be filled up with a program that I did a number of years ago that's very similar to these Stan Freberg shows with Tom Lehrer, a telephone interview with him and some very rare recordings of his. And so I hope you can follow me to that time slot and join me for those shows. But meanwhile, we have two more of these shows done with Stan Freberg. Stan came down to the station and co-hosted a bunch of shows, and we taped a bunch of stuff with a bunch of rare records and a bunch of tapes and a bunch of this and a bunch of that. And I think you're going to enjoy it. In this show, we're going to cover basically his radio and television stuff, and we will possibly glance on the United States of America, which is something we'll cover again next week. So anyhow, without any further ado, let's continue with Stan Freberg.
There's a man named David Walashinsky, who was Irving Wallace's son, mm-hmm. and that's actually Irving Wallace's name, Irving Walashinsky. He shortened it down when he became a novelist. In the meantime, his son has put out a series of books called The Book of Lists, among other things. And are you familiar with those books?
Yeah.
So Walashinsky, I was at 20th Century Fox trying to get the United States of America made into a movie. That's another story. I managed to hang in there through about four different administrations at Fox.
It's what, 20 minutes?
20 minutes each, yeah. Anyhow, Walashinsky called and said, we're going to put a list out in the next book of lists called People Who Died Laughing. And I said, yeah, what's that got to do with me? He says, well, apparently somebody died laughing at one of your records. Do you have any documentation on this? I said, no, that's terrible, terrible. What do you mean? So he says, well, this woman called the paramedics, and when they got there, they said, what happened? They couldn't save the poor man. And she said, well, he was listening to a Stan Freberg record. He laughed so hard he grabbed his heart and fell over, you know. So I told Walashinsky, geez, this is the most depressing thing I've heard, you know, in my whole life. I can't believe this, you know. So at any rate, I said, well, I'll look forward to...
Was it one
to,
of your straight vocals, though, that he was listening to, or one of the...
I was just listening to the whole record at some point. Turn off the bubble machine. The man grabbed his heart and fell over. What can I tell you?
I mean, we should have a medical advisory at the beginning of this program that these things may be hazardous.
Well, I'm telling you that I'm thinking about in the new CD versions of my records, I'm going to put a warning on it. Warning, the Surgeon General has determined, you know, that laughing at this record could be hazardous to your health. Anyhow, so then I said to Walashinsky, what record was? And he said, wonderful, wonderful, you know. So then later on, when the Book of Lists came out, the second version, I couldn't find that list in there. So I called him up and said, oh, what happened to my the list about my record? He said, well, we could never find anybody else who died laughing at anything. And so my father and I made a rule that if it's only one item, that does not constitute a list. So if you hear of anybody else who died laughing at your record stand, give us a call, would you?
That number to call once again.
Yeah, that's right.
And now we'd like to...
Mr. Freberg?
Yes, who are you?
I'm Marianne Feemstra. I'm 10 years old. I've been sitting in the audience.
Yes.
I've been thinking over what you said about how you're doing this because there aren't any more radio programs.
Yes.
Mr. Freberg, what's a radio program?
Well, when you listen to the radio in the morning, what do you hear?
Disc jockeys and news, or sometimes news and disc jockeys. Is it possible to hear something else?
It was back in the 1940s, yes.
Back in the olden days?
Yes, there were what we call radio programs, like what we're doing here with actors and live musicians and sound effects men and guest stars.
Oh, you mean like a television program when the picture tube blows out.
Something like that, yes.
What did you look at?
You didn't look at anything. You just listened.
Boy, talk about your radical ideas.
Look, dear, you're just too young to remember, I guess. I'll have someone from the audience... explain it. Anybody here remember radio? Anybody? Anybody at all?
I do.
Oh, good. But here's a lady. Here's a lady. Come right up here, madam. Watch your step, dear. Yeah. You do remember radio programs, do you?
Oh, yes, yes. I remember them.
Uh-huh. You
You used to listen to them, did you?
I did as a girl, yes. My goodness, yes.
Well, for the benefit of this young lady, could you tell us what it was like?
Well, it was, no, dear, I'm trying to remember.
Just take your time.
Well, if my memory serves me correct, we'd hurry to get the dishes done, and we'd all sit around the living room listening to the,
radio.
Radio, that's it.
Pardon me, what did you look at while the radio was on?
Oh, we looked at each other, kind of stared off into space while Inner Sanctum was on, The Whistler, The Shadow.
Huh?
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Do you know who said that?
Who?
Lamont Cranston, that's who. Compared to him, my dear, James Bond is a fink.
But I still don't know what you used for pictures.
You used your imagination.
Your what?
Look, you could do things on radio, see, that you couldn't possibly do on television. My sound effects man and I will give you a demonstration right now.
Okay.
Okay, people. Now, when I give you the cue, I want the 500-foot mountain of whipped cream to be shoved into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will appear overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream to the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Cue the Air Force. Cue the maraschino cherry. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras. Now, you want to try that on television?
I see what you mean.
You see, radio was a very special medium because it stretched the imagination.
But doesn't television stretch the imagination?
Up to 21 inches, yeah.
Mr. Freeburg.
Yes?
What did they do with all those radio people? Did they go into a rest home?
No, they went into television, and after about 26 weeks, they went into a rest home. Thanks for being with us.
For someone as steeped in the romance of radio as you were, it must have been an incredible honor to be Jack Benny's summer replacement.
It really was. It was a dream come true, you know. Of course, 16 weeks later, CBS chopped my head off with an axe. A big deal, you know, and pulled my pipeline to 6 million Americans out of the wall. But
still, 16 weeks is a lot longer than a lot of people get.
That's right. That's right. And it was a great experience. I'm glad I did it. And Capital, of course, preserved the best moments of that show on originally was a two-album set, the best of the Stan Freeberg shows. Then later they released them as two separate albums. Capitol is talking to me about maybe re-releasing this on CD as well.
Well, that'd be great. Was there any censorship problems doing that radio show with CBS?
Oh, yeah, all the time. I mean, first of all, the first show almost didn't get on, you know, because they didn't particularly like me having this this fictitious city, Los Feroces, where these two hotels, the El Sodom and the Rancho Gomorrah, were competing with each other for grossness every week. But they were on my back all the time. Don't say this, don't say that. We had a running gag in there where a man, they said, don't offend any ethnic groups, you know. And so in a sketch called Bang Gunley, U.S. Marshall Field, I think it was, I said, Bang Gunley, who I played that guy, said to the guy played by Dawes Butler, come on, Pedro, we ride, you know? And a woman, Peggy Taylor, said, Pedro, what kind of a nationality is that? He said, Swiss. She says, Swiss? She says, si, senorita, this way we don't offend nobody. Said, you know, anyhow, then the music came in, Bang Gunley, okay. Later on, the Flying Zasloff family was a family of acrobats on radio, and we did the same gag. Zasloff, what nationality is that? It's just Swiss. This way we're not offending anybody, you know. So finally, I'd had enough of this kind of censorship, and I said, let's do a thing called Elderly Man River. And this was my definitive commentary on people trying to get me to rewrite things so that nobody was possibly offended in any way.
You may not find us on your TV, because in case you did not know, we're being brought to you on, brought to you on, brought to you on RADI. Oh.
Thank you very much. Well, it took so long to open the show that just time to say thank you for being with us, and good night, everybody! Just kidding, just kidding. But it's great to be with you tonight. We have a special...
Pardon me, Mr. Freeberg, but my name is Tweedley.
Well, we all have our problems.
I am the censor from the Citizens Radio Committee, and I feel...
You, from the Citizens Radio Committee, you say?
Exactly what I said, yes.
And what is your purpose in being here?
I must okay all the material used on your program here. And I think the best method is to just sit back here and interrupt when I feel it's necessary.
You mean you plan to stop me every time I do something that you think is wrong?
Exactly. I'll just sound my little horn like this. And then you stop, and I'll tell you what's wrong.
Somehow I can tell this is going to be one of those days.
You just go right ahead, Mr. Freeberg. Don't mind me.
Yeah. Now I'd like to sing...
You forgot to say thank you, Mr. Freeberg. Politeness is an essential in radio programming. Your program goes into the home. We must be a good influence on children.
And that's a darling little horn there. Mm-hmm. Thanks very much, Mr. Tweedley.
You're welcome, I'm sure.
I'd like to sing a old river song in honor this week of National Mississippi Riverboat Paddle Wheel Week. Mr. May, if you please.
Very polite, Mr. Freeberg.
Thank you.
Old Man River, that old...
All right, Tweedley, politeness I dig, but what in the world is wrong with Old Man River?
The word old... has a connotation some of the more elderly people find distasteful. I would suggest you make the substitution, please.
I suppose you insist?
Precisely. You may continue.
Okay, music.
You forgot to say thank you.
Say thank you, yes, okay. Thank you, Mr. Tweedley.
You're quite welcome, I am sure.
Elderly man river, that elderly man river, he must know something. But he don't say nothing.
All right, hold it, fellas. Now what, Tweedley?
The word something, you left off the G.
But that's authentic. Something. Something. That's the way the people...
I'm sorry.
...talk down there. What?
The home is a classroom, Mr. Freeberg.
I know you said that.
Keep in mind the tiny tots. And furthermore, think back. You'll recall that you said... But he don't say nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, really, Mr. Freeberg, that's a double negative. Do you mean he does say something?
No, I just wasn't using my head, I guess.
I mean, after all, it should be grammatically correct, keeping in mind...
And the tiny tots, yes.
You probably mean he doesn't say anything.
I suppose I mean that, yes, I guess. All right, fine, you win. All right, Billy, music. Thank you, thank you.
You're welcome, I'm sure.
Elderly man river, that elderly man river, he must know something, but he doesn't say anything. He just keeps rolling, rolling, he just keeps rolling along. He doesn't plant taters, potatoes, he doesn't plant cotton, cotting. And them, these, those that plants them are soon forgotting. But every man river just keeps rolling along.
Excellent.
Thank you.
You and me,
the tiny tots again, was it?
Exactly.
Sorry about that. Here we go. Got by that one.
Tote that part! Lift that bill!
You get a little.
Okay, take your finger off the button, Mr. Tweedley. We know when we're licked. Well, that concludes Elderly Man River. Oh, yes, and thank you for being with us, Mr. Tweedley.
You're welcome, I'm sure.
Do tapes of the entire 16 shows still exist?
No, no. Yeah, they exist, yeah, but Capitol would not release all 16 shows.
No, I know.
They're not into that kind of releases.
But we are here in radio.
That's true. Well, I'll talk to you maybe about... I own the rights to all that, so...
We don't have any money, but it's public radio.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Well, I'll see you later, Bob.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I love public radio. Are you kidding? I've done almost every public radio show that there is. All things considered, and the morning report, and Fresh Air, I even did that recently, Philadelphia.
Terry Gross.
Yeah.
And it aired here on this station.
It did, huh? Hey, absolutely. This is a hip station here.
Would you ever consider doing a series for public radio, just for the love of it?
Yes, I would. As a matter of fact, I'm talking right now to some people in Washington.
Well, we'd love that.
So we'll keep our fingers crossed, and of course we would come through these very radios right here if we did it.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah.
Down in Trinidad, now everything is changed. If you would visit there, you'd surely think it mighty strange. 'Cause the natives never bother get their day's work done. They just sit around watching television.
Oh, television, television. I'm sick from looking at television.
I got the weak in the eyes, creak in the neck besides, from sitting and looking at television. In Trinidad, the natives used to be content to sit underneath banana tree with no red cent. They were happy if they only had the fish and beans, but now they're not content without the 20-inch screens. Believe me that the kids down there don't give a hoot. All they do is wear the hopalong city suit. They got the hats and the guns and the boots so slick, and they all wearing glasses 4 inches thick.
From television, television, I'm sick from looking at television.
I got the weak in the eyes, creak in the neck besides, from sitting and looking at television. A neighbor of mine put a bubble front of the set for to make the Rose Bowl game a little bigger, you bet. Behind the bubble, someone put a penny just to be coy. I thought Lincoln was playing in the backfield, boy. The missionary teacher teach the kids and she show them just the way that they should draw the letter V. The kids all holler out, well, look at that, by heck. It's just like the one on Fay Emerson's neck.
Oh, television, television, I'm sick from looking at television.
I got a wink in the eyes, creak in the neck besides, from sitting and looking at television. Sometimes the folks are getting pretty poor down there. Just like old Mother Hubbard, the cupboard she gets bare. They may walk around without the shirt upon the back, but they all got their antennas up on top of the shack. The burglar comes sneaking in and breaks the latch, while Grandma, she is looking at the wrestling match. She throws him on the floor, although she's 90 years old. She says, I got him with a step over to hold.
Oh, television, television, I'm sick from looking at television.
Eyes creaking the neck besides, from sitting and looking at, sing it again, Mom.
Television, television, I'm sick from looking at television.
I got a weak in the eyes, creaking the neck besides, from sitting and looking at television, 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 oh, television.
television.
Oh,
television, television.
You have not had a real love affair with television over
no.
the years.
No,
I know that you did a Chinese New Year's Eve special.
Yeah,
at one point, and you did something I'd love to see again, which was the PBS special on the budget,
the federal budget review. Yeah, that was a musical on the federal budget, and certain parts of that were censored out by people at PBS who are not even there anymore, you know. But what got on the air still was pretty good, I think.
Do they have that at the Museum of Broadcasting? You know?
They probably do. They were talking to me from the Museum of Broadcasting about having a more expanded Freeburg section. In fact, they've talked to me also about having a retrospective there of my stuff.
Because I'd love to see some of those things again.
Well, as a matter of fact, the New Art Theater has finally talked me into letting them do an evening of Freeburg.
Oh, how wonderful. When will that be?
I think it's the March 27th, if I'm not mistaken. If anybody that gets those New Art calendars in the mail can double-check that. But I plan to run a little section of both the Chun King Chow Main Art, maybe just the opening 10 minutes, then a little piece of the federal budget review, and maybe one of the numbers that got cut out.
Will we see Orville the Puppet in that?
Orville, you may. Maybe I'll run a little section from The Great American Dream Machine with Orville. That was the last time. No, I take it back. He was on one more time for the Science Fiction Awards that were televised.
I used to love Orville. Do you remember any of the dialogue with Orville had a great thing about nuclear weapons that I remember.
Yeah, that's right. Well, first of all, he was a reporter from the moon, and he said, the Earth is my beat, you know. So I said, well, what is the name of the newspaper on the moon? And he said to me, the sun. I said, the sun? The evening sun? He says, no, we have the sun in the morning and the moon at night. So, yeah, it went like this. He said, we've come for a cultural exchange with your government, and we've brought you a gift from the moon. I said, well, what is the gift you brought us? He said, we brought you a nuclear weapon. I said, I'm afraid we already have a nuclear weapon, sir. He says, not like ours. Ours is terrific. I said, well, what's so special about yours? He says, ours doesn't work. So anyhow, that was cut from originally from the Chevy show, the show I did, the summer replacement for Dinah Shore. Chevrolet people said, we'll have to cut this out, sweetie. We're a little long, so we're going to cut this 30 seconds out. Yeah. Finally, it finally made its way back onto the Great American Dream Machine on PBS.
It's a wonderful, wonderful
Thanks, yeah. Well, Orville should be on a regular basis. I always wanted to do a thing called the Orville Freeburg Report, and which would be like 3 minutes every night. He would come from the moon and ask me what's happened since the last time he was here. And then you'd fill them in on all these various wondrous things that are happening. You know, tell them how they're they're burning down the Amazon forest, and tell them about the hole in the ozone and all those wonderful things that we've done to the planet.
Well, surely there have been offers along the way. I mean, have you?
Well, not the right ones. That's right.
Have you been offered to do a cable special, for instance? I mean, they've done a lot of comedy
Somebody
specials.
Asked me if I wanted to replace Vanna White. I said, no, I'll pass on that. Actually, it was the Pat Sajak part they were offering me. No, I'm only kidding, folks. What was the question again?
why we don't see you on television more often?
Well, that's an interesting question. I really wish I knew the answer to that, Bob. We'll have to talk to Brandon Tartikoff about that. Jeez. I wouldn't mind doing a series of specials for television in the right place. The thing is that television is not all that hospitable to satire, you know.
Well, cable is.
Cable is, that's right.
Of course, cable also has a reputation for smaller budgets.
Well, we'll see. You'll be the first to know if if I manage to get Freeburg on in some regular basis. You know, I kind of do what I want to do these days, and one of the things I wanted to do was get this book written.
Mm-hmm.
And
or at least half written.
Well, yeah. Well, this portion of my life is written.
You have to bear in mind that you have a reputation. You gave us the first part of the United States of America, promising a second. You gave us Freeburg Underground show number one, and
yes,
there never was another one. And now you give us a book and tell us that there's going to be another half coming.
Yeah, that's right. Well, let me just say one thing. The reason there were never any more Freeburg Underground shows is Capitol Records decided that it wasn't a profitable enough thing to do. I wanted to go in actually once a month and put out a new radio show, you know?
Mm-hmm.
No. At that point, they were into putting out the Grand Funk Railroad and things like that. And so this was not deemed to be the most commercial idea in the world. The United States of America was cut off after the first volume because, and people have to buy my book now to read about this, because of an experience with David Merrick, and I won't go any further into that right now. But I guarantee you that the other half of this book is half written in my word processor now. And if I don't deliver the second half, it's not really the second half. It's just the next of a series of autobiographical books.
Is there a title for it yet?
No, not yet. But
I remember reading that you were going to be writing a book called, what was the title? My Life in Advertising and Why I've Been Trying to Get Out of It or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's what this book sort of is. But the next book will be more about advertising because this book goes from my childhood to about 1963 and cuts off. And because I was already up to almost 300 pages and I didn't feel like dealing with the next 25 years of my life in the next 75 to 100 pages.
Mm-hmm.
So in the close of this book, I have an epilogue, which is a conversation between my left and right brain personalities in which this whole thing is discussed that we're discussing now.
Why did you stop making records? Where were you during the disco era? I mean, didn't you find the Village People just crying out for the Freeburg Touch?
Yeah, I did, actually. The Village People, geez, that was, this conglomerate of people dreamed up by like a Madison Avenue ad man. You're right. And I should have been the guy to drive a stake through the heart of disco, which I kept promising to do. But before I could get in to do it, disco did it to itself. I guess I was just so wrapped up in advertising. You know, I've tried to kind of de-escalate that part of my life. I mean, the writing of this book was a step back toward my roots.
If you came up with an idea for an album today.
Yeah.
Or even a single, just a one-shot thing.
Yeah.
Would Capitol release it?
I think so, yeah.
Are you still under contract to them?
No, I'm not under contract, but Joe Smith is a good friend of mine.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I have an interesting idea for a single that I've been toying with for a few weeks now.
And that's an optimistic note on which to end. I'm sure that if Stan's idea becomes vinyl, you will hear it here. Of course, you won't hear it at this 7:30 Friday time slot. You will hear it instead at our new time slot at 10:30 p.m. on Sunday nights. And by the way, we're going to kick off the first two Sunday nights in April with a very similar program featuring Tom Lehrer. So I hope you can join me for that. Let's not forget, as Stan mentioned, the 27th, which is this upcoming Monday night at the New Art Theater, a multimedia evening with Stan Freeburg, which should be fun. I don't know if he's going to be there or not, but I know that there's going to be clips of all of his stuff. And the name of his book is It Only Hurts When I Laugh. Special thanks for this show go out to Stan Freeburg, of course, Donna and Donovan Freeburg, Suzanne Wickham and Diane Faust of Times Books, who published Stan's book It Only Hurts When I Laugh, Eric Myers and Bob Carlson for their production assistance, and Brian Burney of A1 Record Finders in Hollywood for the loan of some rare and priceless material. And let's see, what else is there to tell you? I think that's about it. The address is Bob Claster, C-L-A-S-T-E-R, KCRW, 1900 Pico Boulevard, Santa Monica, California, 90405. Enclose a phone number so I can get back to you. Next week, we will finish up with Stan's advertising years, including Omaha and the United States of America. Hope you can join me then. Until then, this is your host, Bob Claster, thanking you for listening and reminding you to always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.